Living Hope Assembly of God.
If you will, grab your Bible with me and turn to Luke chapter 17 again. And we're going to pick right back up where we left off last week with the title, A Place of Gratitude. A Place of Gratitude. A Place of Gratitude. Again, this morning, once you get that, will you stand for the reading of God's Word? Dealing with a place of gratitude. We talk about it all the time when we look across the world. Man, we have something to be grateful for and thankful about. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. As Jesus went to Jerusalem, he passed between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood at a distance. They lifted up their voices, saying, "Master, Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice glorifying God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Were not the 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found to return and give glory to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Father, in the name of Jesus, be glorified this morning in what we're about to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. One of the things that we talked about last week is that we really know, if you ever have had a relationship with Jesus or do have a relationship with Jesus, that Jesus brings breakthrough. That day, Jesus, he was these men's breakthrough. Not only that, in order to reach the world around us, we have to be like Jesus, and we have to learn to make contact with individuals. We have to be willing to share the love of God with everyone that we come in contact with. We have to also understand that in this life, your main source, your main provider, your way out, your way in is Jesus and Jesus alone. No one, I just want to point it out this morning, I cannot deliver you from anything. The church can't deliver you from anything. Your family can't deliver you from anything. Your job, your occupation, whatever you think in life cannot truly deliver you from anything. At best, it could put a Band-Aid on something that is incurable. The only thing that can help you and truly help you eternally is Christ. Amen. Christ Jesus. The second thing this morning, because last week we talked about their position and where they were at. They stood at a distance. This morning, I want to briefly talk and roll into the next point this morning is that all ten, I said it last week, my wife pointed out, she said, "You kept saying all three." I don't know why, but if I say all three, know that I mean ten. okay. All ten of the lepers prayed. And the funny thing about it, I even wrote it down right here. All three. All 10 prayed. Or in other words, I know some of us are looking, I don't see the word prayed. Every single one of them called out. They pleaded. Prayer oftentimes is when we cry out to God, when we plead to him and we make supplication. Supplication oftentimes is not some little quiet, soft-spoken thing. Supplication is because something, turmoil is going on internally that you need some relief of. Look at verse 13 and 14. They lifted their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Notice within our text that all 10 of them prayed the same kind of prayer in that moment. They cried out the same thing. Lord, have mercy on us. Listen, I don't doubt that they have cried out to many other religious leaders as they passed through. But on this day, the right religious leader passed through. The King of Glory passed through. And I'm here to tell you today that your focus should never be on the man, but your focus should be on the God. Are you following me today? Listen, we have religions out there where the focus is on the man, and as soon as the man let them down, they leave the religion. Listen, your focus should never be on humanity. Your focus should always be on God. Because truly, he's the only one that can make a change. Now, I'm not saying that we should not live a higher standard, because scripture suggests that. I'm not saying that you don't have to look to your leadership for advice and look for them for comfort and all of those things. That's what the body of Christ is made up of, and that's what we're here for. But ultimately, you need to look past the man and look to God. I want you to see within our text that they all observed. They saw and they sensed their need. We typically don't pray or call out to God unless we feel and know our need. I don't know about you, but I remember when my life was broken and in shambles. It was in that moment I knew that I could not fix myself and I had to turn to God. If you have not come to that place in your life where you realize that you need God, today is a good time to come to that place. Next, I noticed that they were desperate enough to display faith because they went without the assurance of being healed. Have you ever been that desperate before? Man, I remember a time in my life where I woke up and I was hungover. And I never forget, I called my pastor and I could still smell the alcohol on my breath. And I cried out to him. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. My life is in shambles. And the next few words he said to me was this: get to the church. It was in that moment I got to the church, and I'll never forget, we prayed and we prayed, and a couple hours passed, and finally this hungover, half still drunk man sobered up. And I'll never forget, I felt a relief, I felt a joy, a peace in that moment that only God could bring. I came to a place of crying out. There are moments and there are seasons that you have not approached that place in your life, guys. I promise you, there's going to come a time, and thank God for those moments. And many times those moments come because we are so stubborn. God is wanting you to turn to him now. God wanted Israel to turn to him, but they did not. It took some suffering, it took some tribulation, and it took some pain in order for them to cry out to him. Cry out to God. I like what Jesus said. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And when Jesus said that, what did they do? They went. We need to observe their measure of faith that they displayed that day. What a great challenge, guys. What a great challenge by Jesus. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And they didn't question him. They didn't say, Jesus, can't you see how messed up we are? Can you imagine leprosy causing limbs to fall off? In a comical way, but in a serious way, no doubt some of them had to hop their way to the priest. Are you following me this morning? But they did not let that hinder them. Are you following me today, church? Some of us need to hop to the altar. Some of us need to crawl to the altar until we get to where we need to be. They didn't allow any of that to hinder them. A command to go without a security of being embarrassed, belittled, rejected, or turned away by the very one that deemed them sick, that deemed them as being lepers. They moved forward to that desired place. Can you imagine? Go show yourself to the priest. Well, it was the priest that was the one that told me I couldn't be a part of the camp anymore. It was the priest that said that you got to live over here outside of the camp. And Jesus is saying, go show yourself to the priest. Can you imagine the loneliness and the pain of this disease that these guys had? And now Jesus is telling them, go show yourself to the priest. These individuals realized that they needed help and they were desperate. And finally, all of them decided to call on Jesus to help them. Oftentimes, becoming who and receiving whatever we need from God comes when we face the very thing that tells us that we can't. Are you following me? It was the priest that told them that they can't be a part of the camp anymore. It was the voices of all the people that live within the city that said, no, we can't come near you. You can't come near us. I'm sure they heard all of those voices as they turned to go back into the camp. I'm telling you today, guys, listen, if you want to receive anything from God, it's going to take a measure of faith in order to get to where you need to be. Listen, a measure of faith can only grow when you go. Are you following me this morning? If we want to be the church that God has called us to be, guys, we have to display a measure of faith. We talked about it in our giving. We have to be that church that gives over and beyond and do over and beyond the call of duty, the what we're asked for, the thing that is required of us. We have to be willing to give more, to do more. Listen, you have to be willing to take rejection and ridicule. You have to be willing to be okay when someone tells you no, when you know God is telling you yes. For young David, it was a giant by the name of Goliath. For Gideon, it was the Midianites. For Jephthah, in Judges chapter 11, it was his brothers. For Moses, it was his speech and the feeling of all of the shortfalls that he had that hindered him. In order for either of them, with who I just named, to accomplish what was before them, at some point they conferred with God. And that's where they gained their confidence to do what was needed to be done. Are you listening to me this morning? There's a whole lot of quiet people. Did we stay up late last night? Listen, I'm telling you, you guys are making this hard for me this morning. Guys are just kind of just here. I want you to listen. I want you to be alive and to think and to take in what I'm trying to say to you this morning, because this is going to bring life to us. A conversation with God will not only change your moment, but it will change your life. These lepers were lepers for a long time. It was no doubt until they met Jesus that something supernatural took place. The lady with the issue of blood had the issue of blood for many, many years. It wasn't until she met Jesus that she was healed. Are you?
But it can change your life. It can give you purpose. It can lead you to your destiny. Can I ask you a question? What is it in your life that you need to faith that has hindered you from accomplishing the thing that God has called you to do? Some of us maybe it's
of young children. One of the things that we tell them in our home, don't you ever let anybody or anything hinder you or tell you that you cannot accomplish or do something that God has placed on your heart. The unfortunate thing, guys, and we got to be careful. I wrote this down, so I'm going to read it just like I wrote it. In fact, some people will say you can't do it because they are afraid to try. And it's almost like they build this house that they want you to stay in because they're comfortable where they're at and they are afraid to do what they should be doing. So they want you to be right there with them because misery loves company. And they're like, no, 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 don't go do that. Stay right here with me, so I can continue to feel okay about my decisions as well. So be careful who you allow to influence you, because God may be challenging you to go, but they're convincing you to stay. I have to wonder, I just want to play with the text for a moment. I have to wonder if one of them may have said, listen, I don't know, I got kind of antsy. I don't know if I should go. This is kind of weird. I know he told us to go. Or let's just play it like this. What if? What if all 10 who had lived together, who had thrived together, who had built a community away from everybody else, they're saying to themselves oftentimes, listen, we can't live there. We might as well build a community here. I like you. You like me. We have something in common. Let's just stay right here. And then all of a sudden, this man named Jesus comes along, and they see him. They see him as another healer, as another prophet, or whatever you want to deem him as, when they saw him coming through. And they said, Master, save us. This was a desperate plea. This was a cry out because they were at their wit's end. They didn't know what to do next. Have you ever been there, church? Listen, and I promise you, if somebody else is not standing there to deter you from doing that very thing, the enemy of your soul instantly rises up and speaks to you and tell you not to do it. I promise you, the enemy will raise up people out of the woodwork to hinder you from doing what God has called you to do. But the lepers in our text, they were obedient. Prayer without obedience is useless. Are you following me? Just like faith without works is dead. Prayer without obedience is useless. Jesus told them to go show themselves to the priest. Now the priest had no power to cure, but he had the opportunity to declare the one cured clean and to issue the certificate of cleanliness so that all would be sure of his healing or their healing. He had that power. Just like I said earlier, and he also had the power to say, you got to separate yourself from everybody else. Guys, can I throw a nugget in there? I wonder how the world feels at times when we create a system where they feel like they can't be a part of. I wonder how that loved one feels where you make them feel like because you are a part of the church that you can't Hang with them, talk with them, communicate with them. I'm not saying become part of them, but I am saying is that if you don't ever communicate with them, if you don't ever show the love of God towards them, you won't ever win them. Are you following me this morning? Notice that they were not healed immediately, but they were healed as they went. As they obeyed the command of the Lord, they were healed. I wonder if we're not receiving in all of those good things because we're not truly obeying. We're not truly believing. We're not truly trusting. Are you following me? Albert Barnes, author of Barnes Notes, writes, "So sinners defiled with the leprosy of sin should put faith in the Lord Jesus and obey his commands with the fullest confidence that he is able to heal them and that he will do it if they follow his directions, and that in due time they shall have the fullest evidence that their peace is made with God and that their souls shall by him be declared free from the defilement of sin." Man. Conversion happens when Jesus says go. Conversion happens when we trust in the word of God. True conversion happens when we submit and commit ourselves to the things of God. So not only did all pray to Jesus, but he healed all of them from their physical condition. It was their faith in the words of the word that healed them. Are you following me? That's good, isn't it? It was their faith in the words of the word that healed them. I'm going to say it again. It was their faith in the words of the word that healed them. You want to be healed from sin, sickness? Trust in the word of God, the eternal word of God. If you want to know God's plan for your life, stop looking in some magazine. Stop looking at some celebrity. Stop looking at your neighbor. Start looking to God's word for your life. And that is simple on the surface. But many of us, we reason when we look at God's word. God's word says, don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. That means that you become like them. You do life with them and you begin to compromise and you don't ever take the lead and you just yoke up with them, and the next thing you know, you're like them and they're tugging you and pulling you in the wrong direction. Some of us like to have to tend to think that it's okay. And so we twist God's word and we tweak God's word to make it say something that it's really not saying. The last thing I want to talk about this morning, the sad thing is, every one of these individuals were healed. Every single one of us in here that are born again, we have been spiritually healed. This is the month of Thanksgiving. This is the month that we have designated. Let's just give God all kind of crazy praise. Let's love on him. Let's give him what is due to him. Isn't it sad that all 10 were healed, but only one came back to give him praise? Every single person on the face of the planet is blessed to be alive. This house should not only be packed with the converted and the saved. This house should be packed with all kinds of people, the unsaved as well. Are we not making it clear how good of a salvation that we have? Are we not making it clear that we also have something to praise God for and about? Or have we become complacent? Remember that time when you were first born again? remember the years ago when you were born again? You were excited. Man, you, no one, they could see you coming. Oh, here come that person. Oh, let's go this way. Where's that excitement, guys? We become so satisfied and comfortable where we are, and we just think now, instead of going to people, we just kind of sit back like, oh, well, maybe they'll come, maybe they won't. Let's just pray them in. Are you following? Let's just pray them in. Faith without works is dead. If you see your neighbor that, paraphrasing, they don't have any clothes on, and you tell them to, you know, just be blessed, and you'll get clothes later on in life somewhere, and you don't ever do anything about it. You see someone hungry, and you tell them to be well fed. Yeah, be fed. Yeah. They're going to look at you like you're crazy. You say you have the joy of the Lord. Show me. You say that he's your everything and he has delivered you and set you free. Listen, if that is true, there should be a radical praise inside of God's people. Are you following me? Man, our team, the Huskers are starting to win some games. I guarantee you there was some jumping in the living rooms just this past weekend. Because finally they're doing something. God has always been doing something. God has always scored touchdowns for us. God has always given you the victory. Are you following me today, church? Listen, we need to get a praise about us and give some thanksgiving unto God, because God is worthy. This is a command from Scripture, guys. Listen, I'm not going to harp on it too long. I got 2,000 or 3,000 more other things to talk about in the years to come. But we're going to talk about this today. Here's the key to the whole issue. All were in the same position, all prayed, and all were healed, yet only one of them returned to offer thanksgiving. It's sad. How often do we find ourselves at a place of needing to be grateful, but we take the healing, we take the blessing, and whatever God has given to us as though we deserve it. Oh, yes, just keep showering me with your blessings. And we sit back with, listen, at my house, when we give our kids something, we make them say thank you. Our kids don't get an opportunity not to say thank you. If their siblings share something with them, you better believe it. They're going to say thank you, or we're going to take it away from them. If we find out that they didn't say thank you to an adult, listen, if I'm standing there, you better say thank you. You better show some appreciation. If we can show appreciation to man, we better be willing to show appreciation to a sovereign God. He demands your appreciation. Are you following me, church? The commentator Matthew Henry once was robbed, and he wrote in his diary about his thankfulness. This is what he says. First, that he had never been robbed before. Next, that though they took his wallet, they did not take his life. He wrote, because even though they took it all, it wasn't very much. He wrote, lastly, because he was the one who was robbed and not the one who was doing the robbing. You can find a way to say thank you and show appreciation in so many different ways. Listen, I thank God. I have thanked God before. When I see crazy stuff going on in the community, when I see that drugs are being sold in the community, when I see theft is taking place in the community, see, because that used to be me. Listen, and I thank God that he delivered me and he set me free, and that's no longer me. Listen, I can be in a jail cell right now, but God delivered me and set me free. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Listen, his praise is what broke the chains off of Paul and Silas. Your thankfulness may look different than mine, but we all have something to be thankful for. Yes. I believe that the reason that the one turned back was that he actually saw a reason to praise. I'm sure he was, when he was headed in that direction with all the other nine, I'm sure he said, wait a minute, I can't go any further. I owe this man a thank you. I owe this man an appreciation. And he stopped in his tracks, and I'm sure the others probably said, look, what you doing, buddy? Let's go. We're headed this way. And isn't it ironic that the other nine were probably Jewish men, and Luke pointed out that this one is a Samaritan? Listen, this one right here had something to praise God about, because he was an outcast. He was a loner. He was the ostracized. He was the one that was overlooked. And just like that lady with the alabaster jar and the lady who wiped Jesus' feet with her tears, they had something to give God praise for. Are you following me, church? We are not sure of the intricate details of this healing. But when he saw that he was healed, he returned with a loud voice. Oh, he returned with a soft-spoken voice. Thank you. Thank you, kind sir, for healing me. No, the Bible says that he returned with a loud voice, glorifying God. Not only did he cry with a loud, return with a loud voice, glorifying God, and he fell down on his face. Where did he fall at? Jesus is, who else was at his feet worshiping him? The lady in scripture that I just referred to. John even went so much further than that. John decided, I'm just going to lay my head in his bosom. What are you going to do to show an appreciation to God? See, oftentimes, and this is unfortunate, because we often think that, okay, what kind of sin this person struggling with when they come to the altar? Oftentimes, they're just coming to give God praise. Listen, if a sinner comes into this place and they don't stop here, but they go here, we better rejoice. When after we preach a message, we need to be rejoicing and talking to God and hoping that that person's life is being changed for eternity. We need to be rejoicing and praising God in hopes that that person is getting exactly what they came to the altar for. This man, he realized the change that Christ had brought to his life. And it is so easy to see our need to pray and not see our need to praise. Are you following me? It's so easy to bow our heads, let's pray. But when it comes time to praise, many of us sit with our hands folded, or our hands down by our side, and we say, who are you to dare try to make me praise? I don't feel like it today, God, because you know my heart. You know I don't feel like it. Listen, God knows your heart. God knows your mind. He knows that you don't deserve his grace. He knows that you don't deserve his mercy. He knows that you're faithless 9 times out of 10 on a good day. So with all that being said, you need to give him what is due to him, because you're undeserving of it. His grace and his mercy. And that's what causes us to praise God. What caused this man to give God praise? Let's play with the text. I'm sure that just like the others that were cleansed, the one wanted to see his family, to hug and kiss them, and to look upon them without fear of giving them leprosy. I'm sure that he wanted to visit his friends and enjoy the blessings just like all the others. But today he had his priorities in order. He said, before I experience any of those things, let me make a quick pit stop over here to Jesus and give him praise for what he's done. He realized that before he celebrates the blessing, he first needed to celebrate and give thanks to the blesser. Notice that with a loud voice, he glorified God. With the same loudness and intensity, he cried for mercy. He glorified God. Did you see that? The same voice that he cried out to God in, it's the same voice that he came back and glorified him with. Why is it that we can cry out with a loud voice for help, but we can't cry out with the same loud voice for praise? Listen, has God ever done any good thing for you? He deserves the praise. Listen, I want you to identify these things throughout your week. I want you to have something to praise God for all week long. If he wakes you up in the morning, say, thank you, God. If you get in your car and it starts, say, thank you, God. If you get to your job, say, thank you, God. Because that job can be somebody else's tomorrow. But God has ordained for you to be there. Listen, you better say, thank you, God. If you've been in a broken relationship, listen, and God delivered you out of it, you better say, thank you, God. If God has brought you from a mighty long ways, like the old folk used to say, you better say, thank you, God. God. He's worthy. He is worthy. Man, I don't know about you, but I'll do it all by myself. I will praise him all by myself, and I don't care who praises him with me. Amen. There are those times that God wants us to cry out for mercy, which reveals a need, a dependency upon him. And there are those times that we simply need to cry out for thanksgiving, because he has been good to us. He has been faithful to us. The Bible says, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Talked about it earlier. I like how Luke points out that the one was not a Jew. He was a Samaritan. Like I said earlier, many scholars tend to think that the other nine were Jewish men who had the same opportunity to give God praise. After we've been born again, I said it earlier that once we're born again, we seem to have a tendency to think that we deserve it, as though we have earned it. And that we're God's special elect, and that he smiles on us and he never frowns. We tend to think like as if, God, you just keep give me, and the moment it stops, you're like, wait a minute. Is it stopped up? I need more. Give me. God, listen, the scary thing is this. This is not even on my notes. Be careful with not giving God praise. I said, if you stop giving God praise and stop giving God what is due to him, be careful that he doesn't make the heavens brass and make it to where it doesn't rain in your life anymore. And he allows you to go through a season of drought. Malachi said, test him and see if he's not faithful, that he will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. But I promise you, the same is true for a curse. God only does it not because he's a mean and unjust God. He does it because he's a righteous and just God. Are you following me? God is going to get your attention by any means necessary. Israel stopped trusting him. He placed them in bondage. God raised up Nebuchadnezzar and allowed Nebuchadnezzar to do that very thing to Israel. You stop blessing him, he might just stop blessing you. I'm going to get ready to close this morning. Give you guys an opportunity to get out of here and go feel like you're licking your wounds. Pastor Charles, he's such a mean guy. You say a lot of tough things. Give me some of those easy scriptures. Talked briefly about it earlier. One of the hardest or worst habits to break in most children It's this idea that they deserve things that we give to them. We explain to them that you don't really deserve anything. There are kids right now that are in homeless shelters. There are kids right now that are orphans in foster homes right now because their parents didn't care enough to take care of them. They need to realize how blessed they are. I wonder what happened if we transitioned our minds from thinking that we deserve anything from God to being thankful that God gives us anything because we're so undeserving. I wonder if we transition our minds. Will you stand this morning? I'm going to get you out of here. But I wonder if we transition our minds like that. If we come to a place in our minds that, man, wow, I deserve death, but he's given me life. I want to speak to each and every one of us. I wonder if we applied this mentality to every area of life, what would happen? What if we look at it like when we look at our place of worship, our families, our jobs? The list can go on and on. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that my family is back, is here. My wife is there. She's at church with me this morning, serving Jesus. I wonder if I just stop and think that I have three beautiful kids in there that's worshiping Jesus right now, being taught the things of God. They're not apart from me right now. I know there are different situations, and I know that we oftentimes have blended families and things like that go on, and I'm not talking about that. You have, even in that, you have something to be thankful about. Listen, but I am thankful today that I have a place to worship God and I can grow in my relationship with Jesus. I wonder if we came to the realization that we don't deserve so great of a salvation, but God gave it to us anyways, and we were undeserving. The day that you confessed your sins and made him Lord and Savior, he knew that you were going to go on continuing making mistakes. But by his grace and mercy, he saved you and delivered you and set you free. Guys, we have something to be thankful for. Listen, when people come inside of our church, they should always see a body of believers that has smiles on their face and an expectancy in their heart and excitement in their feet because they are thankful and they remember the moment that God set them free and they remember the grace and the mercy that is so freely extended to them on a daily basis. The leper did. He said, oh my goodness, I've been separated from all of the things that I love and now I have an opportunity to do this again. I have an opportunity because I love my wife so much. I separated myself from her and I didn't want to give her this leprosy. And maybe his wife said, baby, I love you so much. Just come kiss me one time. And he said, I can't do it because I would give you the leprosy. And she cried out to him, but he separated himself. And maybe some time had passed. Maybe some years had passed. And maybe there's some loved ones out there right now that are lost and don't know Jesus. And maybe they need to hear the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. Are you following me, church? Listen, maybe, just maybe, that wife looked through the window so many times hoping that her husband would come home and years had passed and he never came back. Then all of a sudden, out of the blue, she see him coming at a distance and she runs out and he's ready to embrace her. He's ready to love on her. I have to wonder today that just like the prodigal son, it's the father just waiting for you to come back. He's calling you. He's saying, go show yourself to the priest. Maybe you have worry. Maybe you have fear. Maybe you have doubt. Maybe you have struggles. Maybe you have insecurities and feeling inferior. Maybe you don't understand where life is going. And Jesus is saying, come to me, the great high priest, and I'll cleanse you and make you whole. Are you following me, church? The good news is Jesus. Jesus is telling this story. He's explaining to the people that are around him their need for him. And him being the Savior of the world. Listen, today you have an opportunity to leave this place empowered, or you have an opportunity to stay in your leprosy. I don't have any magical potions. I don't have any chants. I don't have any nice liturgical poems or sayings. But what I do have is come to Jesus. Some of us have leprosy in different areas of life. You're born again, sure enough. But your life is falling apart in other areas. It's just limping. Oh, I'm just going to get by. I'm going to get by. Somebody bring my foot along with you. I lost my arm. And one thing about leprosy is it makes you numb. Some of us are so numb to the things of God. We don't even feel his presence. We're so systematic that we can go through the motions. Oh, okay. This is the part where we say hallelujah. This is the part where we say amen. Can I just share this with you guys? I'm going to preach the gospel if you say amen or not. I do it for fun. And I do it just for my own train of thought. Now, do I want you to say it? You better believe it. Because I want you to get it. I want you to celebrate it with me. If you bow your heads today, I'm going to pray to God. And we're going to ask God's presence just to come in and deal with us. Father, you know exactly what we need, God. You see us, Lord, in that area where we're standing outside of the camp. And that thing is hindering us from coming in. But Lord God, I pray that every single one of us, God, in this moment will call on your name and allow you to bring the healing that we need. Just for a moment. Think about your own life. What is it in your life right now? Maybe pride, maybe strife, maybe some selfish desire that's hindering you, that's keeping you outside of the camp. It's even hindering you from crying out. It has made you numb to the things of God, to those that you love, and to the things that you care about. It has kept you separated. And oftentimes you feel lonely, and you don't know why. You want love, you want affection, you want a relationship with God, but you're so separated because of that thing. I want you guys to be honest today, not with me, but with God, because he's watching, he's listening, he's waiting, he's longing for an opportunity to bring healing to you. If you're here today, and you read that text today with me, and you're that leper today, will you raise your hand? This morning, we're going to agree with you. I see that hand. God is good. Amen. Feel led today, right there where you're at. I just want you to believe God and trust him. Can we do that? The Bible says, are you trusting him now? Are you really? Now, this is what what did the lepers do? Go show yourself to the priest. What did they do? they went. Today, I'm not saying you have to blab all of your business, but just for the next moment, and I know it's almost noon and the buffet is about to start serving. Don't let any of that distract you. You're feasting right now. I'm going to ask just a couple leaders to come right now and stand right here. Guys, listen. This is sometimes we have to understand that accountability is where your strength is. It's where you're going to gain strength. If you don't ever have accountability, you could always keep doing what you're doing without someone calling you out on it, without someone encouraging you to change and helping you, someone you can confide in. We're that church. And I just want to challenge you. If you raise your hand, and if you're just like those lepers in that text, I want you to believe God in that way. I'm going to give you a moment. If you just want someone to touch and agree with you about what you raised your hand for, I'm not saying tell all your business, but I am saying you can stand in front of them and say, pray for me. Or if you want to share, share. Can we do that? I'm going to give you an opportunity. Come now. Father, today you see your people, God. God, they're crying out to you, Lord. They realize that you are the only one that can help them. Deliver and set them free, God. You're the only one that can bring the healing that they need, spiritually and physically, God. Lord, I thank you that we don't have to live in a contamination of sin, but we have victory because of you. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would touch every individual, God, that you would set them free, that they would no longer live in that place, but they will once again walk in the freedom of who you are. And God, you will restore their joy, that you will give them, Lord God, a praise. God, I pray, Lord, that the enemy who has tried to rob, kill, and destroy, God, I pray today that you would fill them, God, with more of your spirit, more of your grace, more of your life that comes from you, God. Father, there are so many people around the world that takes part in church services all the time, God, but they are void of joy, void of excitement, void of praise, void of thanksgiving, God, because they feel like they don't have anything to praise you for. But Lord, I pray today that you will restore the joy of your people. In Jesus' name. I hope that you're glad you came to church today. Amen. God is good. God is good. Father, today we thank you again, Lord, for your grace and mercy. God, go with your people. Make your face to shine on us. Strengthen us, God. Challenge us. Change us by your spirit. And may we chew on this word, Lord, and realize that we were once lepers. God, but you healed us. You delivered us. And you set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you and thank you for coming out.
Living Hope Assembly of God.